Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you with me as we're nearing the end of our week, going through the first couple sections of Revelation chapter 1. We're talking about John as he's exiled on the island of Patmos. He's been sent there under the rule of Emperor Domitian, and it's a time of persecution for the Christians. It's a time where over 40,000 of them have been murdered by this particular emperor. John is in exile. He knows he's probably going to die on this remote island, and his friends, the ones he was running with, Peter and Paul, have both been martyred at this point. Timothy has been beat to death. There's so much martyrdom in the Roman Empire, and yet the church both is living in this time of fear, but also in this time of growth. And so they send John to the island because they don't want to kill him, because they don't want his martyrdom to spur on more and more devotion to God. They don't want them coming back and saying, oh, this is like proof that God is at work and the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, right? So they don't want to kill John. So they send him to this island, and he has a vision of Jesus, and Jesus giving him a revelation. And as we've been reading, we've seen a deeper revelation of who Jesus is, both who he is and what he does for us, and how this inspirational thing is that John, he's literally on this island. He's lived through so much. He's been waiting for Jesus to come. And he could be like, come on, Jesus, come back already. Or come on, like, you put me on this island. All my friends are dead. What am I supposed to do now? But still, he's saying, behold, Jesus is going to return. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who freed me from my sin. I will exalt and rejoice in the one who has dominion over all things. And he's exalting and praising God. And even in his intro of his letter, and we're going to get in today and tomorrow of a little bit of this intro of what he sees and what some of this revelation is. But first, he has this intro where he's saying, this is who Jesus is. This is who he is, and he's coming back again, and this is what I'm staking my life on. So we've been asking ourselves, is this what we're staking our life on? Are we actually finding practical security and comfort in this reality, that Jesus is who he says he is, that yes, he's our friend, yes, he came to die for us, but he is the king of the universe, he's the ruler over all creation, and he's coming back again. And I love what we read yesterday is, every eye will see the one whom we have pierced. And Jesus, who's risen from the dead but retains his wounds, will come back again in glory, and his wounds will be glorious, and we'll see them and we'll respond with wailing because we pierced him. And we'll have grief over our sins, and we'll have excitement to be with him again, and we'll have fear, and some people will have trembling because of how they've lived their lives. But this return that stirs in us this cry. And so, friends, even just as we pray, let's pray here and let's ask the Holy Spirit to stir within us a deep response to Jesus as he's revealed to us here in the scriptures, a deep response. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we worship you, for you are the Lord. You are the ruler of the kings of the earth. You are glorified with your Father, and you will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and your kingdom will have no end. And when we see you, we will respond. But Lord, stir our hearts to long for you. Stir up our hearts to desire you, so that we can wail, so that we can weep over our sins, so we can repent, so we can live in this excitement and this longing to see you again and to be with you forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to start at verse 9, where we begin John's vision. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden girdle round his breast. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And then I just want to say this, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and hell. That was verse 9 through 18. So now John, he's beginning to get in to this vision he's having. And I love how he introduces this book of Revelation. I love how he's writing this letter. He says, I, John, your brother, and this is what I'm going to share with you in this book. In Jesus, the tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance. The tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance. This is what he's saying. I'm going to share with you. What is tribulation? Great suffering, distress, trouble, or affliction. I'm sharing with you the suffering. This is in Jesus, I'm sharing with you suffering. And what am I sharing with you? The kingdom of God. Suffering and the kingdom of God go hand in hand. And patient endurance. I'm sharing with you that I'm enduring patiently. I'm just keep going. I'm waiting here. I'm continuing to stand. I'm leaning on the Lord, and I'm having patience in the Lord. Tribulation, the kingdom, and patient endurance. And he's saying, I was on an island. I'm on this island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Why am I here? Why have I been exiled? Why have they tried to kill me? Why have I been beaten? Why am I suffering? Because I'm speaking of Jesus. Think about John had this from the beginning. He stayed with Jesus. Then you see in Acts, they're constantly beating them. And then they send them back and they're like, don't speak about Jesus anymore. And they're like, we have to speak about Jesus. And I just love that it shows John. That's when John was in his 20s, they think. And now here's John in his 80s. And he's saying, this is the patient endurance I've had since I was in my 20s. They were beating me. They were exiling me. They were arresting me. They were threatening to kill me for the word of my testimony and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That when we preach Jesus, who he is and what he's done, there's a reaction. And the reaction is saying, we're going to come after you. There's plenty of people who are converting. But at the same time, there's people who are saying, I don't like that. I want to stop it. I want to shut it down. The testimony of Jesus, friends, is not a testimony. It's not a story. It's not a word that can coexist with the storyline of the culture. If we're proclaiming the truth about Jesus, we're finding the culture being like, yeah, that's safe enough for those people to just stay over there. They're good to go. Then there's something wrong with what we're saying. So when he was in his 20s, he was getting arrested and they were saying, hey, don't speak about this Jesus anymore. Don't talk about this Jesus anymore. And here he is 60 years later. And friends, he's still speaking about Jesus. He's still testifying to Jesus. He's still talking about who Jesus was and what he did. Is there anything in our lives that has caused us to tone down the testimony of Jesus? How do we speak about Jesus? Do we speak about Jesus in a way that's comfortable? Do we speak about Jesus in a way that won't make us rejected by others or rejected by the culture? Or do we just share who Jesus is and what he's done? That he's Lord, that he's coming again. John gives us a really good glimpse at how do we do this? How do we actually share about this, right? He says, Jesus, he's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's bridegroom, king, and judge. He died and rose again. And guess what? He's coming back in power. This is such a good example of how to give testimony about Jesus. And it's why John was exiled. So he continues on. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write a book of what you hear and what you see. So what does he mean when he says, I was in the spirit? So he's saying, I was praying, right? I was praying. I was with God. I was in the spirit. I was with the Lord. And I heard a voice around me saying, there's a book that I've been reading. It's called Discipleship on the Edge, an expository journey through the book of Revelation. And it's about the book of Revelation. And he talks about this. He says, John says he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He was worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. He had no doubt been praying about all that was going on. So what was going on? I want to read this little section of history. It says, while on Patmos, Domitian's reign of terror intensified for the churches John knew and loved. The churches in cities like Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. As John looks out across the Aegean Sea, he can in his mind's eye see many Christians who are confused, discouraged, and afraid. There was the pressure to conform to the emperor's edict. Many Christians were being harassed by soldiers, many losing their businesses and homes, many being murdered. On top of that, heresy and immorality were gaining footholds in a number of the congregations. John says he was in the, and we just read that, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He had no doubt been praying about all that was going on. He had no doubt been crying out to the Lord. And I continue in what the author, Daryl Johnson, says here. And how does the Lord respond? By telling John to have the elders form a task force on political terror? No. By giving John a set of new programs to be implemented in the various congregations on the mainland? No. By calling John to form a resistance movement? No. By giving John a strategy by which Christians could slowly displace pagans in public office? Not a bad thing to do, but no. By giving John more cash for the church's budget? No. How does Jesus respond? He lifts the veil. He pulls back the curtain. He responds with a revelation, with an apocalypse, with an unveiling of the unseen reality of the present. God responds by giving John a powerful vision of who Jesus is. I love this so much. And we see this. He's saying John's praying probably about all that's going on. There's so much going on. It says Jesus isn't aware of what's going on, but he doesn't give John a vision of a 5-step practical plan of tell the churches to get more small groups going, tell the churches to move the budget around, tell the elders to vote on this or to vote on that or to push back on the culture. He says, I'm going to give you a vision of who I am. And some of us are begging God for our practical circumstances to be changed, saying, God, give me a practical next step. And Jesus is trying to say, I'm trying to give you a vision. I see you. I see where you're at. And I want to give you not all of these next steps of what you think you need, but a practical revelation of who I am. Ask Jesus today, Lord, where do I not need practical steps, but where do I need a revelation of who you are in this situation? God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.